Welcome to our evening service. It's amazing to have such a brilliant turnout. So thank you all for coming despite this amazingly challenging weather. As we were driving over, it was sleeting and the temperature dropped from 3 to 0. But yeah, so we all got here. That's great. Unfortunately, the youth have had such a wonderful weekend away that they are all too tired and sleep deprived to join us. all said about that. This evening service will be led by Otoko. So we are really privileged to have you here, James and Maud and Sam. Where are you? There, sorry. Sam and Sonia. And John and Jean will also make a contribution because they've been to Otoko several times. If you haven't been to any of these informal Beyond Boundaries evening services, it's really informal. As you see, we sit round tables, there's tea, coffee, biscuits. Help yourself to more refreshments throughout the service if you want to. We try to keep this quite interactive, so talk to each other. There will be a question and answer session as part of Sam's presentation. And we will also close in praying for the work of Otoko afterwards. So it's really informal. Be yourself. Don't feel forced to join in with anything, but you're more than welcome to join in if that's what you want to. If you are new to our church, we've got these welcome cards. Ta-da. Welcome cards, and if you fill them out, tell us a little bit about yourself. You will be awarded with an amazing pen, which is somewhere in a mysterious place downstairs. If you're a regular member of our church and you've got some news to share which you would like the leadership team to pray for, please write that on the yellow cards and give it to Lisa at the end of the service, and we will remember those things in prayer. Let me introduce the Otoko team to you. Sam and Sonia, Maud and James, and John and Jean. Could you please come to the front? So Sam might be doing all the talking, but behind every amazing man is an even more amazing woman. So that's why I wanted to have Sonia up front as well. And Sonia has kindly put out some of the items linked to the Otoko Foundation. So there's a display table here. Have a look at that. Can we pray for them?
So, Father, we just thank you that we can have this time together where we share and hear more about Otoko. And we just pray that you'll be with James, Sonia, Sam, Sonia, and all the team as they lead us tonight in this service. We just commit this time to you in your name. Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you all for coming this evening. I will lay the grounds for Sam to come over to talk to you about Otoko. But there are many people who wonder, oh, James, what's your link to the Otoko Development Foundation? Well, my wife, Maud, happens to be the cousin of Sam, who happens to be the chief of the village of Otoko. And I think way back in, 2002-03, Sam launched the foundation, and I mean, I was innocently dragged to Sam's house thinking we were going there for a weekend and a meal, only to find out that Sam had a whole group of people around whilst he actually set up and launched the Otoko Development Foundation. And there, innocent James was dragged into all this. And then a couple of years later, I think this was going back in mid-2003, the then assistant minister here, Matt Noble, was brought up an idea that I think it was towards a church anniversary. And he said, oh, wouldn't it be great if this church did something out of the ordinary? And then I think it was Maud, my wife, who suggested to him that, oh, we are members of this organization and we wish to support a village back home in Ghana. And as she was saying it, I was, I think, pulling at her dress and said, why don't you just keep quiet, woman? And lo and behold, Matt gave us a call and paid us a visit at home one evening to say, No, you know what you told me the other day? I really want to explore it further. I want to put together a group of people from the church. And then if we can plan a trip to Atoko to see how best we can contribute to the foundation. And then, we told Sam about it. He's always very, very enthusiastic about anything to do with Atoko. So as soon as he heard it, he said, well, I think it would be a great idea. I arranged a meeting between Matt and Sam. So one evening, I think Matt picked me up at home and drove all the way to North London to see Sam, to explore the idea further. And Sam was very receptive to the idea of the church getting involved with the Atoko Development Foundation. And there, that evening, a seed was sown. We prayed about it, and we got home, had further meetings, and then drew in the experience, of course, of Jean and John, Rogers, I mean, about putting together a team to go to the village. And I suppose that is where it really, really got off the ground. And then the team was put together. Then came the logistics, which is fundraising towards the trip and what we were going to do in Atoko. And that was when Jean and John essentially stepped in and brilliantly organized the and put together the trip to Atoko. So at this juncture, I think I will invite Jean and John, since they know more about how they put the group together and everything. Oh, Sam, you want to come first? Okay, Sam wants to come first. I told you, he's very enthusiastic about anything to do with Atoko. So I will invite Sam to come and perhaps explain more about what went on afterwards.
Thank you very much, James. Thank you very much. Thank you all for coming. As James said, you know, when Matt came to see me, it was a very, very, you know, inspiring moment for me. And it was like all my dreams, you know, have been answered and have come true. So what I'll do this evening is I'll take you through the projects that we've done with... I'll take you through the projects that we've done with the church, where we are now, and where we're going. And once I've done that, I'll invite, because I want to end up with an invitation to the church, so I'll invite Jean and John, who are very experienced in organizing trips to Atoko. I'll invite them to come and talk to us about the logistics. Now, for those who don't know, Atoko is a small Ghanaian village located in the southeastern part of Ghana, about 2 hours' drive from the capital, Accra. It is sandwiched between the sea and the lagoon, so it's a very narrow strip of land. But there are four other villages in close proximity to Atoko. For instance, the main road running from the capital, Accra, to the village on one side is one village, and then that village also runs into another village. You know, the other side, we've got, you know, two other villages. So for a length of about 5 to 6 kilometers, you have five villages. So even though we do all these projects in Atoko, it does benefit communities from these villages as well. So we do cover a wider area than Atoko. Now, being sandwiched between the sea and the lagoon, of course, the main occupation is fishing, for which the community depend on the sea and the lagoon. Now, over the years, they found it very difficult to compete with all these Spanish and Chinese trawlers who fish illegally. They are not meant to come as close to the shoreline, but they do. You know, and unfortunately for these communities, they just use these dugout canoes, so they cannot compete with them. In the past years, if the sea was rough, they would depend on the lagoon. But unfortunately, back in the 60s, the Ghana government constructed a dam which blocked, you know, access into the lagoon. So the lagoon mainly dried out. And these days, it's only during the rainy season that it fills up. And of course, that also cut off the other source of income to the community. So because of that, poverty was, it's quite ripe in the village, and all the fishermen, lost their main source of income. So back in, as James said, back in 2002, the Atoko Development Foundation was formed to try and then support the community and divert in try and provide alternative source of income for the community. Now, the foundation is run by six of us, four members from the church, and James and myself, and of course supported by our wife Maud and Sonia. Now, we haven't got any employees. All those who work for and on behalf of the foundation are volunteers, and we do not pay for expenses of any trustees or volunteers. So what it means is that all the funds that we raise go to support the projects that we do in Ghana. Now, we have, over the years, carried out a number of projects with the church. The first one being the IT, the library, and administrative block with offices. And then that was back in 2005. And then in 2007, we built a medical center. Now, by 2009, because of the progress we've made, the input and all the facilities we provided, the population of the village school has begun to increase. When we started back in 2005, the population was 350. By 2009, 2010, it's doubled to 700. And then as a result, we needed additional classroom. That's why back in 2010, we had to provide a three-unit classroom block for the school. And I remember during the opening of the commissioning of that classroom, the Minister of Education of Ghana was present, and we impressed upon him what we have done and that we needed the government support as well because the population was still increasing. And he did promise that we're going to provide additional classrooms. And so around about 2012, the government also built a six-unit classroom for the village or for the school. Now, what did the impact of the projects make to the foundation and the community? The impact was quite huge because for us as a charity, a very small charity indeed, having carried out these big projects, it gave us the confidence to be able to go into the world and seek partnerships and resources because we had that history of managing projects. We had a history behind us. So our confidence level was very, very high. And that was mainly on the international scene. Locally, the government and the various agencies began to take notice of us, and they actually treated us as a serious development partner. And I know that in the local assembly, any time they had a meeting to do with development, they invite the local members of our charity to be present because they've seen what we have done at that time, we've done so far. Now, in terms of the community, obviously the school had better facilities, good library, IT, and therefore more and more people decided to join in. In terms of the health, the main benefit of the clinic was the immunization because before the clinic was built, immunization rate was running at 40%. And after the clinic had been built, this jumped to 95%. Apart from that, the community also had immediate access to the clinic. And then also the nurses are able to, because they are now stationed in the community, they are able to carry out health education. They visit schools, they even visit churches, to talk to them about health issues, about prevention. So the impact, both on the foundation and the community, was very huge. Now, having done those three projects with the church, we then decided to branch out on our own and see what else we can do. And the results have been very, very, very good in the sense that the first thing that we did after that was the vocational school, which we built in two phases. In the first one, phase one was in 2011, and phase two, 2012. And we had support from the Ghana government, and then because of, at that time, you know, as I said, the foundation had become a big player in terms of development. So the biggest contribution came from Ghana government. We also had support from the big foundation in the UK, and then also Vito Charitable Foundation, which is a charitable arm of the oil exploration company. They also provided us with the funding. So in all, we spent about £300,000 on this project. Now, the vocational school provides skills training for all the unemployed and the school leavers in the community and in the villages in the surrounding Atoko. There are two forms of training. For those with formal education, they go through a four-year program. And those with informal education, they go through the apprenticeship in a program. And what we've also done, or we're going to do this year, is to try and then get in all the local artisans, the masons, the carpenters, the welders, the electrical electricians, to come into the institute and do short courses to try and then upgrade their skills. Now, the courses on offer, we do catering, masonry, dressmaking, ICT, electrical installation, and welding. Now, we also partnered with the NVTI, which is the National Vocational Training Institute. Now, this is an agency, Ghana government agency, that is mandated by the government through an act of parliament to be responsible for technical education as well as apprenticeship. And by partnering with them, they are now responsible for paying the salaries of all the teachers and the manager. Before we partnered with them, we were paying about £1,000 a month, you know, on salaries. And for a small charity, that's quite a lot of our income. So as soon as we did that, they took over that. So we are able to spend our small resources, you know, in other areas. Now, we're trying as much as possible to make the school, you know, sustainable, and I'll talk a bit about that later. The other project that we also did was the medical laboratory. As I said, back in 2007, we built the clinic with the church, and it was very important that we didn't just provide a basic health services in the community. So we wanted to upgrade the services. Already, we started providing maternity care, you know, to the community. But for that, what you need is a good lab, you know, to be able to support, you know, that service. And the church, through your 2015 Christmas appeal, donated £7,000, which went a long way, you know, to support this project. The building was put up by our students from the vocational school. We gave it to them as a contract, you know, and they did a fantastic job. The electrical work was done by one of the tutors of the vocational school, who was sponsored, you know, by Ray from this church. Well, again, I'll talk about him in a few minutes. Now, the aim of the lab is, once we've got the lab, the government is also stepping and is building a maternity unit. So with the lab and maternity service and the main clinic, we hope to be upgraded to a full health center. And then we'll be able to have the services of a medically trained doctor. You know, so from a very basic unit, we're moving into a full health center. Now, currently, we've got a few projects going. Now, I set up with the basic school. Again, the population keeps increasing. The nursery department is one area where the school is very overcrowded. At the moment, there are only two classrooms, and there are 70 children in each of the classroom. And the building is quite an old building. The team that were in Ghana knew very much about that building, with the cracks, you know, in the wall. So we approached one of our partners, which is the Royal Masonic School for Girls based in Hertfordshire. They run a two-year program where students from the school visit the village. So we had a meeting with them, and they offered to provide a new classroom. It's an 8-unit classroom with a ground floor and a top floor. So far, they spent £40,000 on the project. All of the funds have been raised by the student. And in this summer, a group of 23 of the students will be going to the village. It's an ongoing project, and we hope to finish the ground floor by July. And then the foundation will then raise some additional funds to be able to provide an upstairs as well to try and then improve the environment and provide more classrooms for the school. Then also the vocational school. When we started back in 2011, we had 80 trainees or students. Now, currently we have 400 students in the school. We've got more and more coming from the local areas and even further afield. So for those, commuting is quite difficult for them. So we've got a £20,000 grant from the Ghana government to start the building of a hostel. Unfortunately, because of inflation, we've not been able to finish that project. So far, so we spent £20,000 on that, and this is one of the projects the main project that I'll be proposing to the church towards the end. Then also, I had a call last year from one of the volunteers from Canada who has been helping us. That she's met this guy who wants to donate solar panels to the vocational school. Because of the machinery and all that, the electricity bills are quite high. I spoke to him, and he's generously donating this project, which is worth £110,000. So the container, they've already sent an engineer to the school from Canada, who has done all the feasibility studies. And then and one of the students from the electrical instructor, whom Ray is sponsoring, was also sponsored by the same guy to go to Canada for a two-week training. He's been there and back. In the next couple of weeks, the container will leave Canada with all the solar panels and the batteries to the village. And we expect the engineers to come in later in early March to come and do the installation to try and reduce the electricity bill for the vocational school. Then, as I said, the government is also providing the maternity unit. It's all been roofed, rendered in a way. The next stage will be the installation of the equipment. And once that is done, we'll be using one of the rooms for a pharmacy. And that once we provide that pharmacy, that means that we've now got all the setup that is necessary for the place to be classified as a health center. So we're just waiting on the government to finish that project. Now, as I said, I would like to extend an invitation to the church. But before I do that, I'd like to speak about the sustainability of our projects. Because one of the issues has always been, how do you maintain these projects? How do you make sure the projects live from generation to generation? Because there has been a lot of cases where well-meaning people from overseas have been into mainly the developing countries, in African countries, and provided good facilities. A few years down the line, all those facilities have been mismanaged and destroyed. Now, the philosophy of our foundation is that if we don't depend on government, because government hasn't got the resources to be able to provide facilities as and when you need it. But when we provide a facility, because initially it costs a lot to put up the building, once you do it, government will be prepared to partner you. So what we've done is, as soon as we provide a project, we partner government. So for the clinic, we provided the clinic, the building, and then the government went into partnership with the Ghana Health Service. So they provide the nurses, the drugs, the vaccines, and they pay the nurses. And they say, that takes away that running cost from us. So with that kind of partnership, we are able to see that facility maintained. And we then come in every now and again to try and then raise funds to maintain it. Now, when we built the medical, the vocational school, again, it was exactly the same principle. Partner government agency, government picks up the operational or the running costs, and we just work with them. But what we've also done this time around with the medical lab is we thought, well, it's okay to partner government, but then government takes all the money. We did the initial investment. So this time around, when we finished the medical lab, we approached government and said, yes, we're prepared to have the lab. And we said, no, you're not going to have it on a silver platter like before. What we want to do is we want to have an understanding whereby the income generated monthly, we take a percentage of that income, and that will be reinvested. Because a few years after we've done the clinic, we went back to government and said, well, the whole place is, you know, run down. It needs to be refurbished. But they said they didn't have the money to do that. So we had to raise funds, you know, to be able to do that. So with the lab, we approached them. It was a tough negotiation, but in the end, we prevailed in that. Now we get 80% of the income from the lab, and that's kept in a special account, the health account of the foundation. And that will be used to provide additional facility and reinvest in the lab. The government at the moment is paying for the utilities, and they supply some of the reagents to the lab with that 20%. So we get, and at the moment we are paying the technician, but the government is on course to absorb that technician. And if that happens, we still want to keep the 80% because we want to buy machines like ultrasound, which are, obviously quite expensive, but we want to invest in that. So we've moved on from complete, 100% surrender to government to a percentage, and that's what we're working at the moment. And so with that, we're actually able to, we are able to maintain these facilities. So I can assure you that whatever support or investment you make in Atoko, they'll be taken care of. They will live for generations upon generations to come. And we also, at the end of the day, involve the local community in the formulation of the project. We consult them, we work with them. When you look at a clinic, they've got a health committee in the village, and they work, the committee work with the nurses. So and the same with the vocational school. We've got a board which I share, which I chair, and there are people from the village serving on the board as well. When you go to the basic school, we've got a school management committee made up of people from the village and the teachers. So we've involved the community in the formulation, planning, and then running of the project. So they own the project. So in years to come, even if the leaders of the foundation are not there, we've already trained people, or the community are able to carry on with the project. Now, looking at the big picture, the government, for a few years now, Ghana has been an oil exporting country, but most of the discoveries has been made in the western part of Ghana. Now, a number of firms have come to our area. There's a town, Keta, which is about 20 miles from the village, and oil has been discovered in commercial quantity. The main organization involved in that exploration is the Vitol Oil Fund, which is a British company. And when we were doing the vocational school, we approached them, and when they realized that Atoko was about 20 kilometers from their main base, they were so happy with that, and they gave us £50,000 to provide equipment to train our people. Apart from that, there's also plans to build a harbor again in Keta, which is about 20 kilometers. And the new government that's been in power for about a year now has come up with this policy of building one factory in every district of the country. So Keta district is also earmarked for a factory. And then also, there's also a new law that has been passed by Parliament that for any company operating in an area, what's called a local content law, part of the employees must come from the local area. Even if it's a foreign organization, they have to reserve part, you know, they have to look locally, you know, to employ, you know, people. So as a foundation, we're looking ahead and saying that the vocational school is a good place to invest in the skill of the community, of these school leavers, because we've got jobs coming into the area. So we're looking ahead and preparing, you know, for these jobs. And it's also very important for the local development, because there's no point training all these people and then they leave the area, you know, for the city. It's best for them to stay in the community and contribute, you know, to the development of the community. And that's why we think that the vocational school is an asset, you know. But to train more people, we need a hostel. You know, we need to be able to complete that. You know, we need additional classrooms, and that is the project. You know, the hostel project is the one that I'm proposing to the church. You know, if we can raise a group from the church, just like we did with the other projects, that would be a very, very good way of investing in the community. So I would, you know, recommend this project to you, that we all pray about it, that God will, you know, make a way like he has done before. You know. Yeah? All right. So on behalf of, you know, I thought I was going to talk briefly about the sponsorship. Now, the sponsorship, you know, we provide support for some of the students who are not able to fund the education, you know, because of, you know, poverty. So far, the church, when we started, the church has been very good with that. And we had a couple from the church who sponsored this lady right from the primary school, and she's now the midwife working in a nearby hospital, waiting for us to start the full maternity service to, you know, to work in the clinic. Then also, as I said, one of the success stories is the gentleman, the electrical, you know, engineer now, who Ray Bourne has been sponsoring, you know, and he has been fantastic. So these days, when we do any project, he does all the electrical work for us. We don't pay a penny, you know, to do that. You know, that's his contribution, you know, to the ADF. And as I said, he was in Canada recently to be trained on the solar project, and he's just gained admission to go to university, you know, to get a degree in electrical installation. And I'm very grateful to Ray, who is going to spend a lot of money to pay for his university education. So thank you very much, Ray. Now, on behalf of the community, the Atoko Development Foundation, and my own self, I would like to thank you, you know, for your support. We had a trustees meeting recently, and I gave a testimony to, you know, to the trustees. I remember the first project that we did with the church didn't go well, you know, but they had confidence in myself, my leadership, and James, and the community. The church could have walked away after that, but they didn't. They had, you know, the confidence. And God being good to us, we've grown from strength to strength, and I think we are moving in the right direction. It's because of your support, your prayers, and your amazing contribution. That's what has brought us this far. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank you and to say to you that I acknowledge and I admire what you do. I'm always humble when I come here to present to you, you know, because I know, because I remember the last time when we did the fundraising for the lab, you know, I wasn't sure how much we were going to get. You know, I was told that normally it's about £400 you raise. And I remember I said to Martin, but I need about £5,000. So should I say 2,000? Martin said, no, just say 5,000. We'll pray about it, you know. And then what happens? The church prayed about it, and instead of 5,000, we had £7,000, you know. And that's what was raised during the Christmas, you know, service. So I'm very humble by all you do for my community. I thank you, and God bless you all. I now call on Jean and John to do the...
Okay, well, our task is slightly different, and that's to persuade some of you to come on a trip to Ghana and form a work team. But Jean and I are 80 this year, and the idea that this can continue on and on is something which we want to pass on to you. And so what we're really asking for is a group of middle-aged young people to come on board to be the organisers in the future so that this doesn't die but continues. And what I've been asked to do is talk through the logistics. We're not planning to go just yet in terms of we run a charity, as you know, every day, teaching unemployed people a new high-tech skill and placing them back into work. And so we've not actually given up work, but there is a danger that when you get to this age, you say goodbye and it doesn't carry on. And what we want to do is make sure that this planning carries on and this work carries on. Okay? So I've been asked to speak on the logistics, okay, of a group that would go out in 2019, in the summer of 2019, to paint and do the plumbing for the hostel, this hostel that Sam's spoken about. Now, last time we did the electrics and the plumbing and the painting, and Norman did the electrics, all of the electrics. And this time, Enoch, who Ray has sponsored, is doing the electrics, so it leaves the decoration, the painting of the inside, the painting of the outside, and the plumbing for us to do as a team. Okay? So we would need to raise the money for people to go out, or people themselves would need to raise the money for them to go out. And we'd need to raise the money for the equipment that is needed to do that job. And so I've been asked to speak on the logistics of this. And here we see up here, we need white paint for the ceilings, magnolia paint for the walls, undercoats for the doors and windows, top coats for the doors and windows. All right. And the emulsion brushes, the rollers, the undercoats, and the gloss paint, and the sheets of sandpaper, and the blocks, and the ladders, which are some are already there, for people that feel that they can do decorating and painting to do that for this hostel, and to convert it from a building into a place in which students can live and learn. Okay? So this is the project which Sam is hoping that a team from here might go out and do. Next slide. Okay. The time away would be 2 weeks, and it would probably be in July and August, where the schools and colleges are also on holiday so that young people can come, but it would be a mixed group. And it would be in July, August 2019. And the estimated time away is 2 weeks, right? The cost of accommodation to you is nil, because Sam puts us up in a his own home out there, and so there's no cost for you for accommodation, but there is a cost, I have to say that. Right, the cost of the airfare is probably the most expensive, and there's no cheap airfares to at all call. We may be able to get it slightly cheaper than this, but today's price is £1,200 for the airfare, and that is a major cost. Okay, the cost of food is about £100 per person. Some of the food is provided by the village of Ghana, Atoko. Last time, I'll tell you a little story. They said they would provide us with some meat, and Jean and I were very grateful that they would provide us with some meat. And so when we got back to the house, there was a goat in the garden, tied up. And this is absolutely true. There was a goat in the garden tied up, and I said, you're going to provide us with some meat. And they said, the goat's there. So I had to take it down to the abattoir and have it put down and sliced up, which fed us. But that was the meat that they provided. They do provide fish as well, but I always remember that because I just wonder what I was going to do with this goat. Right, the airfare, so the cost of food is probably about £100 per person for odds and ends, and Jean can say something about that in a moment. The cost of the container to ship all the materials is quite expensive, although I think Sam has a cheaper method these days, which he's explained to me today, but you can explain it again later. But it's slightly cheaper than that. So the total cost to really be raised, and this was the same price as last time, and we've run now four visits to Ghana, in fact five if you take the one to Malawi, of young people and mixed people, it's always worked out at around about £2,000 per head with everything. And going through the costs as we've done over the last week, it looks as though those costs will be roughly the same. Now, you may say that £2,000 is a lot, and so I have to tell you how to raise it. Next slide. Right. There's several ways in which you can raise this money, and young people have raised it, and older people have raised it. So it's not an impossibility. It seems a lot when it's put up there as £2,000, but there are several ways to raise it. The first way is a sponsorship, because that is the best way. You know, you go and you do a cycle ride or a walk or something fantastic, and you ask people to sponsor you, and they will give you so much per mile or so much per hour, and that is the best way, most efficient way of running money, of running the project or raising the money. Another way for younger people is to go to granddad or grandma or mum and dad. All right, and this, of course, is a way in which we've sponsored our families and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. So we're actually sponsoring them for different things, and I know you do the same. But this is a way in which people can sponsor them, especially the younger people, sponsor themselves. And then there's a boot sale. You can do a boot sale. And we've done several boot sales. They are hard work, to be honest, very hard work, and the return from them is not that great. But at least if you've got stuff to sell, you can sell that and get a boot sale, do a boot sale. You can also try and apply for charity on the web. There are lots of companies, fundraising companies, that are willing to give you money from their charity for a special cause. We take advantage of this on the charity which we run. But maybe you know more about that than some of them. But if you look at that web, and I can give you websites that you can look at and see people offering funding for different projects.
There's always something happening. There's always something sort of quite exciting that happens, and you think, you know, what's going to happen? The first visit we had to a Torquay, we got there with a group of 16 or whatever it was, young people, and Sam said, yes, the building's okay, it's ready. When we got there, there was no roof on it. So something had gone wrong with the builder, so that was quite a surprise. In another, when we built the medical centre, we sent everything out in a container. We have to do it a bit different now, but we had to send everything out in a container. There was our food, there was all the paint, there was all the equipment, there was the doors, all the tools that we were going to use. We got to Ghana, got to Accra at the airport, and Sam got a phone call to say the container's still in customs. So we went on the two-hour trip to a Torquay from the airport. And when I think by that time, Sam had managed to negotiate. And they said, yes.
Bribe.
It said, yes, the equipment, the container has cleared and it will be there today. Well, we had all these people in. We had a welcome from the village and we had a welcome service. And then as we came back to the house, this is God's intervention, as we came back to the house, the container drove up the drive and was there. So on our first day, we had paint, tools, food, whereas we thought a few hours before, what are we going to do?
I tell you this, Sam is dedicated to bribes. But he said to me, he said, they won't allow it out unless we pay 2,000 CDs, wasn't it? 2,000 CDs. And he said, I'm not going to pay it. And I said to him, if we don't have that container, we're not going to be able to work either. And I think the best thing is to pay it. So he negotiated with the dockers. I mean, it's a racket, but there it is. What can you do? Those people that live in that country know the problem of corruption sometimes happens. And the dockers didn't want to release this cabin until they got their whack. And that was it, sadly. But I know that he is dead against it because he said, you're not going to do it. But we had no choice in the end, I tell you. Right, let's move on. Is that it? Next slide. Okay. So if you could think about this, if you could think whether you would like to come on a trip, 2019, you've got a year, all right, to prepare for it. 2019 to come and alter that hostel building. Now, I've learnt since I did the slides that there are four rooms in the hostel, and in each room there are room for eight beds. So there's at least four rooms that we have to prepare in terms of the painting and decorating inside. And also there are the toilet blocks at the end, which we also have to do, and the kitchen, which we also have to do. So, and there is some plumbing in that. Now, I've done plumbing, but I'm not a skilled plumber. And if anybody's done plumbing, I know that Ray did plumbing last time when we built the medical centre. And he's saying he's a bit like that, but it's all worked. All right. There's no electrics to do, which Norman has always taken responsibility for. So we're grateful for that. But if you're good at plumbing or if you're good at painting, don't say you can't do it because it's not hard. It is hard work, but it's not technically hard. It's physically hard, but not technically hard.
I'll let you into a little secret. There was one person that we took from here to the medical centre. Her name was Caroline, and she said, I can't paint. I can't paint.
I don't think she'd ever painted.
I don't think she'd ever painted before. But she had a roller and she had a bucket, and by the end of each day she had nearly as much paint on her as she did on the wall. But she enjoyed it.
Yes, I remember looking at Caroline and paint was running down her head. And do you remember, so other people remember that probably, but there she was. She used that roller very efficiently.
Yeah, one other thing I'll just end with. If you want to talk not only to us but to other people that have been on these projects before, June's been on it, Anne's been on it, Ray's been on it, Kevin's been on one, Norman's been on one. Have I missed anybody out?
Sort of young people.
No, and there's some more, lots of young. Speak to Bellworthy and Richard Bellworthy. They've been. And, lots of people.
So just remember the purpose of this. The purpose of this is to raise a team from here in 2019, a mixed team of young people and older people. Think whether you could allocate that time to this project in 2019 and to make the hostel a living reality. Any questions on that?
How many people?
20. Any other questions? Yes, we could take fewer, 15 or 20, something like that. That's what I estimate it will do. It will require. So think about that. Yes. Well, do you want us to answer that, Sam? There are two reasons. Let me just say this. One reason is that the community wants to keep in touch with the Baptist Church in Chelmsford, and that is a very essential thing. If you go to that community, you'll see plaques provided by Chelmsford Baptist Church. Provided by Chelmsford Baptist Church. And the people there are so grateful for what Chelmsford Baptist Church has done. So we want to retain that. But you might like to comment.
The vocational school will be involved in the project. You know, they've got a masonry department, so they will be involved. But what I find interesting and good experience is good raising the funds and giving the funds to myself to go and do the project. And then I come back and tell you about it. But it's a different thing when you go there and then you experience it. It's so much just hearing about it. But when you experience it, the effect that it has on you, I think is priceless. You know, so I think based on that, it's worth for the team to actually go and then do the project. And I think that's a very important point.
I think once you've experienced a welcome as you go into the village for the first time, it's something you'll never ever forget. And I don't think you'll experience that anywhere else. And you can't describe it and because it's just, they're so pleased to see us and they're all in their costumes and it's just a wonderful experience.
Well, what year do the others go out?
The first time was 2005, and then 2007, and then 2010.
And in 2003?
No, in 1995, we actually led a group to Malawi and built a house in Malawi.
Oh, right.
That was a young people's group.
Yes, that was TC.
Is it still alive? Oh, yeah, it is. Any other questions?
any sightseeing on the trip?
Oh, yes.
Yes, we do.
I did put it on that, I thought. No, I took it off, didn't I? The middle weekend is a holiday weekend and a visit to the Gold Coast.
Cape Coast.
Cape Coast. Visit to the Cape Coast. And that's in a holiday centre there where there's a swimming pool and where you can sort of relax. That's the middle weekend.
Nice golf course. The resident, Copper.
Any other questions? Well, think about this. Think about whether you could raise that money and come and join the group. And also, particularly think whether you would like to be on this organising committee and start to lead it. And so that you go forward, because that is important. It's important to us and important to Sam. Anything else?
I'll just add one more thing, because this happened on the last trip. If you feel that you would like to support, you'd like to make a contribution or support somebody else going on this project, we may find, this has happened before, that there are young people who want to come but can't raise the money. So some church members did sponsor some of the team who couldn't raise the money to do it. So that might be another way of being able to support the project.
Thank you so much, Sam and John and Jean. That was great. Thank you for giving us a really beautiful description of the work that's going on. And what I love most is that this is really owned by the community and that you bring the government in to really make this sustainable and embed this in what is going on in Ghana. So that's amazing. And I've worked in East Africa and I've seen what some other projects have left behind and it's not been sustainable. So I'm really impressed with the work that you are doing, and it's exciting to plan to be part of the next team maybe, and yeah, let's see what happens. Are there any other questions related to anything that was presented this evening from anybody? This is your chance.
Say, as an experience of a lifetime, because you see your brothers and sisters in a faraway land, and the things that they have not got, that we have got so much in abundance. It's just humbling to be there, that they make you so welcome, and they're just so grateful for you being there and being part of their community at that time. It is a really right kind of experience.
Is there anything on the web about this that we can look at?
Yes, the Otoko Development Foundation has got a website.
And is there jobs for them to go to locally when they're finished, or do they have to go overseas?
Sam?
For the vocational school, the options, because we've partnered with the Ghana government, they can either carry on to further education or they can work locally. And then also, we've got these jobs coming on stream, and mainly that's what we're preparing them for. And one thing I missed out is that for the vocational school, we've set up production units. So at the moment, they manufacture small equipment for local garages. They print out T-shirts and all that. So we are actually just done a business plan to set up a retail unit in the school, and so that we can employ the graduates to work in that. And we've had a couple of people, one from Germany and one from Canada, who have come over to run courses. So the idea is that the vocational school will produce items that will be sold in Germany and then in Canada. So yes, we've got we're trying to provide work for them.
That was a good question, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, so can I suggest that those of you who feel comfortable, just get together for a few minutes round your table and let's really pray for this work for just a few minutes. In your own words, lift this work up to God, and then I will close the evening in prayer. So, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you that you are our Savior, that you saved us personally, and that you want to have a relationship with us personally. Thank you also for allowing us to learn what you are doing in other countries and in other cultures. And thank you so much that we can be a part of that, that we can make a small contribution to better the lives of the people in Otoko. And thank you that that brings glory to your name. And we just want to commit ourselves now into your hands. Thank you for your presence with us for the rest of this week and for the coming week. For everything that is ahead of us, we know that you are with us, that you give us your peace, your wisdom, and just the deep awareness of your presence in everything that will happen this week. And we commit ourselves now into your hands for your glory. Amen. If there is anybody who has come with something on your hearts that you would like to share with somebody of the leadership team, please feel free, and I'm sure Jean will be happy to get somebody to pray with you. Otherwise, there is still some coffee, some tea left. I can see a few biscuits left on some tables. Help yourselves. If you've got a few minutes spare to clear the chairs and the tables away, that would also be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much, and may God bless you.